Remember, that children need not only reproof and correction, but encouragement and commendation, the pleasant sunshine of kind words. 18.3 You must not have strife in your household. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It is gentleness and peace that we want in our homes. 18.4 Tender ties that bind the family tie is the closest, the most tender and sacred, of any on earth. It was designed to be a blessing to mankind. And it is a blessing, wherever the marriage covenant is entered into intelligently, in the fear of God, and with due consideration for its responsibilities. 18.5 Every home should be a place of love, a place where the angels of God abide, working with softening, 19 subduing influence upon the hearts of parents and children. 18.6 Our homes must be made a Bethel, our hearts a shrine. Wherever the love of God is cherished in the soul, there will be peace, there will be light and joy. Spread out the word of God before your families in love, and ask, what hath God spoken? John 19.1 Christ's presence makes a home Christian. The home that is beautified by love, sympathy, and tenderness is a place that angels love to visit, and where God is glorified. The influence of a carefully guarded Christian home in the years of childhood and youth is the surest safeguard against the corruptions of the world. In the atmosphere of such a home the children will learn to love both their earthly parents and their heavenly Father. John 19.2 From their infancy the youth need to have a firm barrier built up between them and the world, that its corrupting influence may not affect them. John 19.3 Every Christian family should illustrate to the world the power and excellence of Christian influence. Parents should realize their accountability to keep their homes free from every taint of moral evil. John 19.4 Holiness to God is to pervade the home. Parents and children are to advocate themselves to cooperate with God. They are to bring their habits and practices into harmony with God's plans. John 19.5 The family relationship should be sanctifying in its influence. Christian homes, established and conducted in accordance with God's plan, are a wonderful help in forming Christian character. Parents and children should unite in offering loving service to Him who alone can keep human love pure and noble. 20:19.6 The first work to be done in a Christian home is to see that the Spirit of Christ abides there, that every member of the household may be able to take his cross and follow where Jesus leads the way. 20.1 Chapter 2 Fundamentals of True Homemaking. The most attractive place in the world. While there are weighty responsibilities devolving upon the parents to guard carefully the future happiness and interests of their children, it is also their duty to make home as attractive as possible. This is a far greater consequence than to acquire estates and money. Home must not lack sunshine. The home feeling should be kept alive in the hearts of the children, that they may look back upon the home of their childhood as a place of peace and happiness next to heaven. Then, as they come to maturity, they should in their turn try to be a comfort and blessing to their parents. 21.1 The home should be to the children the most attractive place in the world, and the mother's presence should be its greatest attraction. Children have sensitive, loving natures. They are easily pleased, and easily made unhappy. By gentle discipline, in loving words and acts, mothers may bind their children to their hearts. 21.2 Clean, neat, orderly. Cleanliness, neatness, and order are indispensable to the proper management of the household. But when the mother makes these the all-important duties of her life, and devotes herself to them, to the neglect of the physical development and the mental and moral training of her children, she makes a sad mistake. 21.3 Believers should be taught that, even though they may be poor, they need not be unclean or untidy in their 22 persons or in their homes. Help must be given in this line to those who seem to have no sense of the meaning and importance of cleanliness. They are to be taught that those who are to represent the high and holy God must keep their souls pure and clean, and that this purity must extend to their dress and to everything in the home, so that the ministering angels will have evidence that the truth has wrought a change in the life, purifying the soul and refining the tastes. Those who, after receiving the truth, make no change in word or deportment, in dress or surroundings, are living to themselves, not to Christ. They have not been created anew in Christ Jesus, unto purification and holiness. 21.4, while we are to guard against needless adornment and display, we are in no case to be careless and indifferent in regard to outward appearance. All about our persons and our homes is to be neat and attractive. The youth are to be taught the importance of presenting an appearance above criticism, an appearance that honors God and the truth. 22.1, a neglect of cleanliness will induce disease. Sickness does not come without a cause. Violent epidemics of fevers have occurred in villages and cities that were considered perfectly healthful, and these have resulted in death or broken constitutions. In many instances, the premises of the very ones who fell victims to these epidemics contained the agents of destruction which sent forth deadly poison into the atmosphere, to be inhaled by the family and the neighborhood.